This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, May 9th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. EU countermeasures could include food and drink. U.S.-UK deal, a harbinger, and Democratic senators try to head off vote. EU outlines tariff response if negotiations fail. President Donald Trump has his first deal toward his goal of 90 in 90 days, 89 more to go. And there's still more work that may be done on the deal announced yesterday with the UK. The European Union yesterday laid out exactly what is at stake for U.S. farmers if negotiations to avoid U.S. reciprocal tariffs falter. The EU Commission unveiled potential countermeasures that would affect some 95 billion euros of U.S. exports, or $107 billion. Among the list of products it is collecting public input on are fruits, nuts, and vegetables, cereal grains, oils, shellfish, bourbon, and food products. The EU remains fully committed to finding negotiated outcomes with the U.S., European Commissioner President Ursula von der Leyen said in a statement. At the same time, we continue preparing for all possibilities. But the move clearly rankled some in the administration. For them to publish stuff like that, I don't think it's in the interest or the spirit of negotiations, Trump trade advisor Peter Navarro told reporters. Trump's first trade pact leaves the door open to further U.S.-UK deal-making. Officials from both sides of the Atlantic said yesterday that a new trade pact between the United Kingdom and the U.S. would be the start of further negotiations. One former Trump administration official tells AgriPulse that at some point it may actually end up looking more like a traditional free trade agreement. This could open up negotiations with a long tail, said Everett Eisenstadt, who served as deputy director of the National Economic Council. At a press briefing in the Oval Office, UK ambassador to the US, Peter Mandelson, said the deal is, quote, a springboard to foster more valuable cooperation in the future. Now take note, many of the U.S. Ag Committee are also hoping the agreement outlined yesterday isn't the final word on the U.S.-UK agriculture trade. This is an important first step in expanding markets, American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall said in a statement, but he said in a reference to sanitary and phytosanitary standards, more work is needed to remove the arbitrary barriers that have excluded American-grown food from grocery stores in the UK. The UK's Department of Business and Trade said in a statement that the agreement contains, quote, no weakening of UK food standards or on imports. You can read more about the deal at agripulse.com. FDA extends comment period for FOP labeling proposal. The FDA is allowing 60 more days to comment on its proposed rule on front-of-package labeling. The long-awaited proposal came out in the final days of the Biden administration, which made the labeling a big piece of its 2022 National Strategy on Hunger, Nutrition, and Health. Consumer and nutrition advocates also see food labeling as a key tool for Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to implement his Make America Healthy Again priorities. The agency said in a constituent update that it had received multiple requests to extend the comment period. The proposal has already received nearly 9,500 comments, according to the Federal Register docket. The original comment period was set to end May 16th. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Edge says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Deputy HHS Secretary nominee calls for better nutrition research and labeling. Trump's pick for Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Services raising concerns about healthy food access, labeling, and nutrition advice during his confirmation hearing yesterday. If confirmed, James O'Neill would lead many of the daily operations at HHS. In his appearance before the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, O'Neill indicated he was in lockstep with his boss-to-be, Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. He said many Americans try to be healthy, but junk food is often cheaper, adding that it's also difficult for shoppers to know what is healthy because of confusing labels. O'Neill said the nutrition science behind the Dietary Guidelines for Americans, which HHS puts together with USDA every 5 years, often lags by decades. However, he said, it's difficult to conduct, quote, real nutrition science because of outside influence. Kennedy and others in the MAHA movement have also criticized the DGA for alleged conflicts of interest on Scientific Advisory Board and call for better nutrition research. Take note, O'Neill said there should be more studies conducted using National Institutes of Health facility that isolates participants for weeks to measure each calorie consumed. Researchers used this facility in a 2019 study that found participants assigned to a diet with ultra-processed foods ingested more calories, gained more weight than those with an unprocessed foods diet. The researcher behind the study, Kevin Hall, accepted an early retirement offer from HHS last month. He cited censorship from the agency as his reason for leaving. Overriding parliamentarian on clean air rules would be bad precedent, Democrat senators say. Senators are warning their colleagues that efforts to revoke California's Clean Air Act waivers by overruling the Senate parliamentarian would set a dangerous procedural precedent. Alex Padilla of California, Adam Schiff of California, and Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island took to the Senate floor yesterday to discuss recent Republican efforts to scale back the state's waivers. Last week, the House voted to revoke three waivers for the Clean Cars and Trucks program. However, the Government Accountability Office determined that the waivers are not rules under the Congressional Review Act. The Senate parliamentarian also clarified that any CRA resolutions on these waivers would require 60 votes in the Senate rather than the simple majority. In his floor speech, Padilla said Republicans are trying to bypass a filibuster and use the CRA to revoke the waivers with a 51-vote threshold. If successful, it would open the door to ignoring the parliamentarian on any ruling that you don't like, Padilla said in his speech. And if Republicans can ignore the parliamentarian on CRA, then why not the tax bill that they're working on so hard, or health care, or anything else? Here's today's final word. I never had a farmer complain that there were too many staff in the office. That former USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, Robert Bonney, reflecting on the department's response to Hurricane Helene on this week's episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Bonney raised concerns about USDA's ability to respond to future disasters after downsizing at the department. Some 15,000 people have taken buyouts at USDA. This week's Newsmakers, available today at AgriPulse.com. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, May 9th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Dowling.